Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask for your presence here this morning. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to just hear your scripture, hear your word, to apply it to our lives, to just that it might dig down into the very depths of our soul, that we would see ourselves for who we are, understand how deeply you love us, how deeply you forgive us, and that it would really make a difference in the way we live our lives and the way we treat others. So, Lord, pray you'd be with your servant this morning, that you would use him effectively. What we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's amazing to me all the new and neat ways that we can communicate now. Of course, we have cell phones and texting. We've got Facebook, Twitter. I haven't Twittered yet, but Twitter. Blogs, and Skype. And I keep seeing that, you know, most of that stuff, this generation over here knows what all that's about, but some of you are looking at me like, I have no idea what you just said. But I am seeing that my generation, you know, even Rich Allen has a Facebook, just joined Facebook. So, you know, it's kind of amazing. We have all these neat ways of being in contact with one another and communicating, and we've gotten so comfortable with it that if I'm sitting in the basement and I want to talk to Danita, I'll call her on my cell phone when she's upstairs. Okay? How lazy is that, right? So you would think that with all that communication, all these tools, and all this way of always knowing what's going on in each other's lives, that we wouldn't get misunderstood. And yet, we know that's simply not the case. And have you ever wanted to really look your mate in the eye, look your wife in the eye, or your husband and say, "Can you hear me now?" You know, from that Verizon commercial. You know, it's one thing to be talking, but that doesn't mean that we're communicating. And it's often too difficult to communicate with one another. And it's really a two-way street. It's both talking and it's listening. And it's interesting, someone has figured out that nonverbal communication, just the way we stand, communicates 58% of the message we're going to share. Yeah. And our tone of voice is 35%. And you know what our words amount to? 7% of the total message that people receive. Wow. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, even in our closest relationships, in our marriages, we sometimes struggle to be heard and to understand. And, you know, this morning I'd like to talk about communication as it relates to marriage, but it's also, there are going to be some things in here to apply if you're not married, to dating relationships, to relating to members of your family and your closest friends. Ways that, you know, how we communicate, and we want to draw that from our scripture this morning. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verses 20 through 32. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught of him in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Now, you might notice that scripture doesn't talk about marriage, but we want to look and apply that scripture from that perspective this morning. I think most of us, it's most frustrating when we're communicating or trying to communicate, when we have something important we're trying to relate to our mate, but we come away feeling unheard or misunderstood, or worse yet, the whole exchange turns into anger. Well, our scripture kind of lays the basis or the groundwork from which good, healthy, strengthening communication grows. And notice that Paul says to put off the old self and to put on the new. If you're a Christian, we're called to see our mate as an area of ministry. That's kind of a concept I think we forget sometimes, but we're to minister to our mate. This is what the new self is all about. It's about giving of ourselves, not receiving or getting what we want. The new focus, or the new self, is focused on communicating in what is right, in the right way, with our mate and with our God. And that's what he means when he says it's righteous and it's holy. And being in that place allows us to communicate in the right way. And this is really what happens. We have this saying in our vision statement, that says we're going to passionately pursue and demonstrate the transforming life of Christ. That applies to our marriage relationship. That's the transformation, the movement from the old self to the new self. So if we want to communicate, it really starts with how we're communicating in the spiritual realm. And when we struggle with our mate, I think the best place to start is to check our attitude at the cross. Is my focus on ministry, or is my focus on getting what I want in this communication? And, our tendency is always to want to go back and put the old self on because it's real comfortable. I have a couple pair of work pants at home that are my favorites. And, when I work on the farm, I'll wear the same pants 2, maybe 3 days. And, of course, by the third day, they're pretty well stand by themselves in the corner. But they're my favorite pants. They fit me well. And they're comfortable. But they're also frayed. They got holes in them. And I can guarantee you by day 3, there's manure caked all over the bottom of them, okay? All right? So, sometimes we want to go back just like, to that old self, that neat pair of jeans. But when we do that, we have to realize that when we're putting the old self on, we're not complete. And worse yet, our attitude may really stink. So, being back in that old self, being out of that ministry mode, really damages our communication. And it hinders us from really getting across what we want to do. And so good communication stems from a heart that views my mate as someone God has given me to minister to. And I can't emphasize that enough from this scripture. That's what the new self is all about in our marriage relationship. You can be all excited about being here for youth ministry and helping with children's ministry and maybe taking a trip to Arizona and helping out there and reaching out to the Indians and going to the park and talking to people. But you know what? If you fail to minister to your wife or your husband, to have that attitude and that mindset, you undermined everything that you're trying to accomplish. And you diminish the cause of Christ. Because that's the core, that's the relationship that people see. That's where people know who we really are. So can you hear me now? So if we lay the right foundation for communication, then Paul describes some pretty important principles. He tells us to speak the truth, to put off falsehood. And sometimes we don't want to say falsehood is what it is, but, that includes exaggerations, those little white lies sometimes we say, as well as just bold-faced dishonesty. And there's probably nothing that destroys unity more, creates more conflict, undermines trust in our marriage relationship more quickly than lying. It just breaks down everything that's good in communication. So if we find ourselves lying, we know that we're reverting back to putting that old self back on. Because it's the comfortable place to be when we feel threatened. So it's about protecting myself. When I lie, it reveals that my own insecurities and my own unwillingness to admit that I was wrong, to take responsibility for that. Usually in a relationship, when lying's going on, that leads to anger, doesn't it? Makes you mad. And Paul speaks about anger here. He doesn't say that anger's wrong, only that we're not to sin when we get angry. Well, what does that really mean? Well, we need to understand that when Paul says, what Paul says about anger is talking about righteous anger, when there's injustice. And even then, he says, don't go to bed without taking care of it. So you're not supposed to stuff your anger somewhere. You're supposed to deal with it, with your mate, with your Heavenly Father. You're to get it out. But you know, in my experience with anger, it's usually not righteous anger that I have a problem with. I have a problem with anger because I use it as a tool to get what I want, to get what I desire in my relationship. That's how I've used anger. I don't know about you, because I know that my wife really doesn't like it when I'm mad. All right? So really, that is just one of the tools in the manipulation toolbox. And you know what? That really destroys communication when that's your purpose of being, when that's your purpose of being angry. You know, I think it is also one of the, God has given us the emotion of anger. It's built right into our DNA. But it is so easily corrupted. It's so easily used in the improper way. And when we do that, we've kind of opened the door to the devil. You know, he says, don't give the devil a foothold. If you use anger to manipulate your mate, you've just opened the door to let him come running right in. We all know that we rarely speak or listen clearly when we're angry. Have you ever come away from an argument with your mate or when you're angry and you go, oh yeah, you know, I really understand how she feels now. I don't know about you, that ain't where I'm at when I walk away. So a majority of the time, our anger is because our mate has not met our desires. And in reality, you know, we like to use the statement, you make me angry. It's really a choice, isn't it? I choose to be angry. Well, Larry Crabb writes about this in his book, The Marriage Builder. And while it's perfectly fine to share your desires with your mate, I mean, you know, my wife needs to know what my desires are. She can't always meet them, but she needs to know what they are. But getting them met is really out of my control. I can't make her do anything. We have software that keeps track of all our, you know, our bank account. I don't know if any of you use QuickBooks. I have QuickBooks, all right? So we got the farm, we got the cake business, and we have our family drawing and all this. Well, see, I pay all the bills, and I control all the cash. Yeah, all right? She thinks that's the best. She's the accountant. I don't know why she's not doing it. But anyway, the one thing that I have trouble with is balancing all that stuff with the checkbook. Now, it's right there. You just go click, 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 and you're done. It takes Danita about 5 to 10 minutes. She showed me about 3 times how to do this, but I still don't understand how to do it. I don't feel comfortable doing it. So when I see that it hasn't been done for a while, you know, we're in June, and February, you know, shows up, you know, we're still not having checked things out, I'll share her my desire. You need to update, balance the checkbook, all right? Now, that's if I then get angry and, you know, stomp around and you haven't done that yet, you know, get going. What I'm really trying to do is manipulate her into doing it because I know that she doesn't want me to be mad. Is it good communication? Does it build the relationship? No. It's damaging. Because it makes her feel inadequate. You know, it's not lifting her up. It's poor communication. And you know, that's just one of the tools in our box of manipulation. You know, anger's one. You know, the old silent treatment. I'm sure nobody here has used that with their mate. But the silent treatment, sometimes we withhold sex. That's our, that's the way we're going to. Well, I got to ask you, when you're using those, how's the communication working? Not too good, is it? Not too good. And it's because we've moved from, we've put the old dirty jeans back on. And we need to make sure we take them back off. We get our attitude right. We go to the Father with those things. And Larry Krabs suggests that as Christians, we should pray for our desires. You know, your mate needs to know them. Ask God, hey, this would be wonderful. Lay it on him and talk to him about your desires. And when we feel unrighteous anger coming, when anger begins to boil up in your communication with your mate, sometimes we just have to step back. We have to say to them, you know what? I'm getting really mad about this. Can we talk about this later? And then go and just unload it on your Heavenly Father. Tell him. Tell him why you're mad. Because it's there that he can bring us back to an attitude of servanthood, an attitude of ministry, instead of wanting to demand what I want. He's the only one that can change our attitude, and he's the only one that can slam the door on Satan who's trying to get in and break that relationship. Well, it's also in anger that we say things we really don't mean. And he talks here about, don't let anything that's not good come out of your mouth, only what builds up. Well, most of us has innocently said things, communicated things we don't want to. About 2 years ago, I went to a banquet, and I serve on the board for Union County Conservation District. And the chairman was introducing the board members, and he didn't know if Danita was with me or not before the meeting. So when he got up, he introduced me, and he said, well, it doesn't look like you have your wife with you. And so I stood up, and I had brought Rebecca. And so I said, no, this is my daughter, Rebecca. She looks like my wife used to. Yeah, I did say that. So, it's one of those moments where you wish you could suck it all back in and do a retake. So that happens innocently, and I think that happens in our own communication with our mate. Sometimes we just don't get it said right, but in anger, we quickly move to character assassination. And in verse 31, Paul lists all this good stuff. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. And in your communication with your mate, if you ever reach the point in your anger that your goal is to tear your mate down, to go back, don't we love to do that? We go back and pull up all that old garbage that happened 10 years ago, and we bring it right up to date. When you're there, we're not anywhere near where Paul says. We're back deep into the old self. And he says here that, when we're in that kind of mindset, we grieve the Spirit. And that has no part in a Christian marriage. And that does not reflect the love that the Father has for us, does it? Imagine if our Heavenly Father ripped into us like that, how we'd feel. Well, Paul's final exhortation is to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Someone has figured out that only 20% of what we say is actually heard. 20%. So I think that to be kind and compassionate in our communication, it would be really important for us to start concentrating on listening. We love to speak, but it's really hard, to listen. And sometimes if we're not listening, we can draw the wrong conclusion. Danita and I went to Eric Walter's wedding this weekend, and it's also our 28th anniversary. So we took Friday night, and stayed and then went to the wedding in the morning down Philadelphia way. When we were about to leave, we were going to leave at 4 o'clock. I was out in the shop in the midst of the 8th time I tried to put something together and fix it. And it still didn't work. My dad was there working with me, and I was really mad that this was not working. All right? So at 4 o'clock, Danita calls me on my cell phone. "Hey, how's it going?" You know, nice, cheery voice. And I said, "Hey, it's not going. I'm not going to make the time. Talk to you later." Okay? Now, in the past, she would be justified in thinking that I'm upset because I have to leave. Because I used to be that way. I want to finish what I'm doing. Here we are. We've got to take off the weekend, even though it's our anniversary. I mean, I'm a bad guy. You know, I'm upset because I have to leave. And she would be justified in thinking that. So when I come in, it's about an hour later, I come in the house. And, of course, I'm kind of stumping around there, you know. And she has the bags packed, and I'm like, you know, "Do you have my tie? Do you have my socks? Do you?" You know, I'm going through all this thing. And, you know, instead of being gracious that she had packed my bags and taken some steps to get ready, you know, I'm going through this list, and she can tell I'm frustrated. And so she, you know, she begins to draw it out of me. You know, what's going on? What happened? And, you know, it's like a crowbar. You have to pry me open and pull the pieces out till she could understand. It wasn't about, I was excited about going with her for the weekend, going to the wedding and being a part of that. It was a wonderful thing. But this frustration had brought me to a point where I was communicating something that I didn't really want to communicate. And she was willing to take the time and find out what that was about before she became frustrated and, you know, about something that she didn't need to be, because it really wasn't about her. It was about me. And I think we need to realize that when we're communicating and trying to listen, there are differences between the sexes. And, you know, men, if we were to talk about our family, you know, we'd probably have about 3 or 4 sentences, and we'd be done. We'd say, "Well, yeah, how about them Phillies, huh?" Okay? But women, man, they start talking about their families. Woo, man, that can go on forever. We were at the reception, and Danita was sitting with a friend, and they were talking about their daughters. Well, you know, it takes a while. I think there were 8 daughters total, so until they got through every one of them, all the detail, you know, that takes a while. So men, when you want to listen to your wife, we've got to change some things. We've got to concentrate. We've got to stick around long enough to let the details come, to let them come out. That means we can't be watching TV, can't be reading the paper. We got to focus if we want to understand and communicate with our wife. For women, you know, you just need to understand that. For guys, you know, we come in from, "How was your day?" "Okay." And you know what? If you don't follow that up, that's all you'll get. Now, okay can mean a couple things. Okay can mean, "It was a great day. I had a great time." Okay can mean, "It was lousy. It was just okay." And you know what? If you're watching your mate communicate, not just verbally, but physically, if you're really trying to connect, you'll get more of the message of what's going on. But for women, you got to pry it out of us. You got to work at it. Not badgering. Sorry. No, you want to make clear, don't badger. But you have to attempt to pull and ask good questions, like you really care. And we'll get there after a while. We'll open up and tell you what's really going on. And I think the real biggie here in communicating, and if our communication is to be out of compassion and kindness, this is the biggest battle I have, and I think most of us have this one, is to not be formulating the answer while someone's telling us what's happening. Do you do that? You know, they're going through that, especially with women. You know, it takes them a while to get it all out. So you're there, "Oh, okay." And while you're sitting there, you're formulating, "Okay, this is what we need to do. This is where we need to go. This is how we're going to solve this problem." And by the time they're done, you're right there. You got the answer. You think you do. But because you were formulating in your mind, you weren't really listening. So all of us, I think, that's a biggie. slowing ourselves down, intentionally hearing what our mate has to say is really important. When we get to the end of this scripture, we actually end up where we began. To be effective communicators, we must be willing to forgive. That's the last thing he says. You know, we don't always get it right. We don't always say it the right way. We don't always communicate what's really going on. We don't always capture the depth of the emotion of what people care about, what our mate cares about. And often we're misinterpreted. But if we're willing to take off the old self and put on the new, the cross will ever be before us. And, you know, I just have to say, you know, after being married to Danita for 28 years, that ability to forgive and to forget it has enriched our relationship beyond all measure. And she has always been a minister to my soul. Thank you, hon. But I really believe that when two lovers are committed to each other, when you really care about how you communicate to each other, when you remember how Jesus forgave you individually, you have a well to draw from, and there is no communication breakdown you can't mend, and there's no relationship that cannot reflect the love that God has for us, because that's really what marriage is about. It's about showing how God brings people together to love at a very deep and intimate level, and it's a beautiful thing. So when you're working at communicating with your mate, I think a real good goal would be not, can you hear me now, but now I hear you. Now I hear you.